It's time for Champions of Education, brought to you by the Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every single day. And we'll go to the hotline and welcome in Open Door Christian Schools President Denver. Daniel Denver, how are we doing today?
Doing really well, Rocco. Thanks so much for having us on board.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for taking a couple minutes out of what I'm sure is a very, very busy time for you right now. So again, I appreciate you loaning me a couple minutes here. You know, if you could remind me and maybe some of our listeners here, how has learning been done at Open Door since, you know, the start of this pandemic? Did you guys go online only? Was it in person? Was it hybrid? How did you guys do things over there at Open Door, and how's that going right now?
Yes, in the midst of the COVID pandemic, that's the question that everybody is asking to educators nowadays, right? But we have been fortunate to be in person as our primary delivery vehicle for instruction. We have enough space on our campus. It's actually quite large that we were able to just allocate the right rooms to get the right amount of social distancing and just meet all the regs and guidance that have been posed to us. So our primary vehicle is on campus. We do have a remote option where students can remote feed in grades 5 through 8, and then preschool through 4, we actually have an alternative model too that has some touch points with our faculty, but not like you would get on an on-campus setting or a live feed. So it's the answer is we're doing both, a little bit of a hybrid, but we really are primarily, and I would say about 85-90% of our families are choosing the in-person option.
Well, that's fantastic. I know it's much easier for schools to adjust when the bulk of your community decides to stick with that in-person learning because, well, that's just what you guys have been doing for however long now. So I always like to ask, whether it's a president or superintendent, but when it comes to the online learning, and again, it sounds like for you guys, it's not too big of a thing over there. But for those who do choose that online learning route, what's maybe the biggest obstacle that you've had to overcome, or what's maybe the biggest thing you've learned with that aspect of things?
No, that's a great question, Rocco. I would say the biggest obstacle that we have with online learning, just the remote, is establishing community and getting that individual attention as responsive as what would be when it is in person. That was the driving factor for our choice to go in person, as we were, once we established that we could be safe, healthy, and well, we just knew that the challenge of providing the real-time feedback is somewhat altered when we're going in a remote setting, and as well as that whole sense of community that just makes schools what it is. I mean, we remember our classmates. We remember the events surrounding. We just remember and all those community happenings. And remote, while it is so far better than what it was even 5 years ago, and I would even say since March, just that remote learning option provided quite a bit of a challenge on how can we make sure that we remain connected to students we care deeply about.
Yeah, that's certainly, one of those things I cherished from my high school memories was the interaction in the hallways and, you know, some of the goofing around with your buddies. And you're right, that's something you can't really replicate with remote learning. So certainly is an obstacle for many to overcome if that's the route that they choose to go. So I did have a question for you in the way of athletics. Normally these interviews are very strictly educational based, but no reason to, not mesh some athletics in here as well. And I'm curious because, you guys don't have to follow a specific conference guideline or protocol, right? You're not part of the SWC or the Lorain County 8 or any of those. So, when it comes to looking for guidance when making decisions whether to play or not, how do you make those decisions? What do you follow for that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have a medical advisory team actually here for this season, just filled with just great professionals that when we start seeing the CDC guidance come in or other pieces that come from the health department and so forth or governor, we start asking ourselves and them, our medical advisory team, does it make sense for us to play? And so when we establish the fact that we can do things safe, healthy, and well, then we start having some coordination with the other athletic departments to make sure that they are putting themselves up to the same scrutiny. And when we're able to make that happen, and just after a lot of counsel, that's what makes the decision for us to play. When we feel like we can't do that, that's when we would choose to press the pause button.
Understood. Well, we certainly look forward to some open door athletics on the airwaves of WEOL. We'll have your matchup against, I believe, Mentor Christian as Patriots basketball taking again Mentor. Is it Mentor Christian? Who do you guys play tonight?
Yeah, it is. It's Mentor Christian. Okay. This Friday that you're coming out for, we just played at Toledo Christian this past week, and we're in a holiday tournament over in Independence over the weekend. So.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Again, Denver Daniel is our guest here, Open Door Christian School president, on this week's Champions of Education, brought to you by the Nordson Corporation. So obviously at Open Door Christian, there is a spiritual component to what you guys do over there. You know, we were talking before we started recording here about I myself being a Walsh Jesuit alum. So I certainly, you know, understand that aspect of a Christian high school education. So, you know, especially right now with COVID-19 and so many social tensions going on top of that, it's a bit of a chaotic world right now. Do you find you guys are maybe more involved with prayer and that spiritual aspect of things now, maybe so more than ever before?
That is such a great question, Rocco. You know, I would say the answer is yes. And I would say, honestly, the challenge is to tend to those things that are most important is more difficult. Right? So, and I know that sounds somewhat counterintuitive, but when you think about, you know, really what is the foundation of our school, which is, you know, a Christian education, when you have layers of regulations as far as a needed regulation, so that's not a outcry against any that are coming in, but when you have so many restrictions, guidelines, sometimes if we're not careful, we will just find our focus being exclusively on let's just make sure that we're meeting all the regs or meeting the requirements. And then we have had to be very intentional in pulling back from that and saying we're going to do this, but we need to give that much more time to are we really taking before the Lord the needs of the school? Are we communicating that there is hope outside of what we are presently dealing with? Because, Rocco, as we look at the county and the different things, we can see there's a lot of reasons for sadness and bleak despair, and reminding people that there is a hope that is much stronger than what we're facing, and then building community from that really represents the DNA of what we try and do. But the challenge is very real in the midst of what we're working through right now.
Yeah, no question. And I'm sure, you know, it is difficult to try and keep that focus there. And I'm sure that's something a lot of people right now, whether it's students or parents or whoever is in that Open Door Christian community, you know, I'm sure they appreciate what you guys do as far as that aspect of things. So very, very cool to hear you guys are still trying to get as much of a focus on that as you guys can. I did want to ask, and just because, you know, from my own curiosity kind of standpoint here, if it's the kind of Christmas shop that I once had when I was in school, this Christmas shop that you guys have had going on Friday being the last day here, but what was this all about? How does this go down?
Yeah, so this is just it's more geared towards our lower school, our preschool through fourth graders participate. And basically, it looks different this year because we can't bring the whole classes in at a time. So it was each student had a personal shopper, but it is just this opportunity for kids to come in, select something for their mom and dad, or to put in their family friends under the tree. And it just to give, you know, again, when you start talking about memories and community, we had an all-star group of volunteers come in and do this Christmas shop right, and allow our little ones to experience it. And it's a fundraiser for our PTO as they do other initiatives across campus. But more than anything, it's just an experience for our lower school students. that in the midst of all that we are dealing with, bring them some fun times through the Christmas shop.
And I commend you for, you know, still having that event this year, because, again, I asked you because I remember going to a Christmas shop when I was, you know, a youngster at that age, and going in there and looking at all the different little trinkets and stuff you could get from mom and dad. And I know my parents kept a lot of that stuff over the years and still have it to this day. So those are certainly some very memorable experiences that that you are giving the little ones there. So very, very cool that you guys were able to still put that on safely and everything this year. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I will just, you know, it seems like the refrain of everyone just trying to be responsible. But I just want to commend, if any of our volunteers are listening this morning, I just want to commend them for the way that they looked at the guidelines, the restrictions that we had put in place to make sure that we had something that was safe and healthy. And they just hit an absolute home run. There were a lot of people that were smiling, a lot of little faces smiling because of what they'll be putting under the tree for mom and dad. So very cool.
Yeah, yeah, very cool indeed. And yeah, those volunteers certainly do deserve a lot of gratitude for what they were able to do. Like I said, from my own personal experience, I can certainly say those kids are making some great memories with that. So Denver, we can close on this. If there's any kind of message or updates or some news that you'd like to share with your community moving forward here as we approach the holiday season, what would that be?
Well, more than anything, Rocco, it's just to thank them for the privilege of serving them through what has been a really challenging time, and to our community as a whole, anyone that's listening, just that, you know, Christmas represents a time of hope and just a commitment to bring people together. And that's truly what our school is striving to do on a daily basis. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about ODCS today.
Oh, well, thank you very much for taking the time again to, you know, loan me a couple minutes here and share some insight into what you guys got going on over there. Very, very cool things happening. And it's awesome, again, to hear about that Christmas shop still happening, I can tell you. Those kids certainly enjoy all of that. So, Denver, thank you so much again for the time this morning. I really do appreciate it. Hopefully we get the chance to catch up again soon here.
That would be great, Rocco. Thanks again.